You are listening to a free version of the Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Tuesday, January 3rd, 2023. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the five-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, Republicans in disarray. Kevin McCarthy scurries to secure enough votes for his House speakership. Meanwhile, Russian drone war on Ukraine expands. And Republican congressional congressman-elect George Santos, if that's really his name, is facing revived charges in Brazil. New York Governor Hochul faces massive resistance to her right-wing Supreme Court pick. January 6 panel closes shop after issuing a Trump criminal referrals and releasing final January 6 texts. Trump's tax returns released. He didn't pay much. Donald Trump Jr. joins the Glenn Greenwald Rumble Project for seven figures.
Can't deny the talent.
Lula sworn in for a third term, for the second time, and for a third term as president of Brazil. 2022 saw a 15-year high of naturalized citizens in this country. Meanwhile, how the red wave narrative was fueled by partisan polls. Talk about that. And today, there is a $35 cap on insulin for Medicare subscribers, and it goes in effect as of today. Right-wing YouTube darling Andrew Tate detained for at least a month over sex trafficking charges. All this and more on today's Majority Report. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Happy 2023 to you. Thanks for joining us at the beginning of this year. Emma is must have just... She is still partying, a New Year's party, and
she timed it perfectly.
She's she's still going, and so we're not really even sure where she is, but she will be back probably within 5 or 6 days when the party stops raging. Matt and Bradley are here. Happy New Year, guys!
Happy New Year, Auld Lang Syne.
Happy New Year,
Auld Lang Syne.
Auld Lang Syne.
Don't you sing that on New Year's?
No, I don't.
Mm-hmm. I sang it.
Did you really?
I did.
Do you guys want to tell your New Year's stories?
I just went out to a restaurant in New York. It was fun. Okay. I sang Auld Lang Syne with some other patrons.
There you go.
I was watching movies and then flipped over to YouTube TV to watch the ball drop about 15 minutes beforehand, and then I went to bed.
There you go. What a crazy crew. Crazy crew. Well, Saul and I watched the first installment of the Towers trilogy, the
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings, and then we went to go. We watched some fireworks. He stayed up for the first time past midnight for New Year's and was completely freaked out by the fact that 2022 felt exactly the same as 2023. Or vice versa. And then the other thing he did, which, you know, is actually, I think, pretty memorable. As soon as things counted down, he punched me in the stomach. And I was like, why'd you do that? And he goes, I want to be the first person in the world to punch their father in 2023. And I mean, there may have been a couple others, but like... He is in rarefied company. And then he was also the first kid to be punished in 2023. Let's get to this. This is exciting. Friend of show Harvey K tweeted out, I think the other day, in the wake of Lula being essentially taking the oath for the third time, for his third term, the second time taking the oath or having an inauguration, I guess, as president of Brazil, that late Michael Brooks would be terribly excited. And I imagine he is looking down or up. I mean, I don't, I'm not gonna, who knows, maybe sideways at this. And with a big smile on his face, here is a huge procession of folks celebrating Lula's returning to the presidency in Brazil. I like how they spray down the crowds with water just to cool them off, as opposed to it's nice to see fire hoses being used in that way. And apparently Bolsonaro refused to give the sash, which is like a, I don't know, I guess it's a tradition.
Yeah, the presidential sash, they call it.
Presidential sash to Lula. And so it was given to, presented to him by some indigenous groups.
Yeah, a bunch of different groups representing sort of workers and indigenous folks and LGBT that sort of Bolsonaro hated. And a lot of, many of these people were at the vigils for Lula when he was in prison.
And so here's that.
Neste momento, o presidente Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva recebe a faixa presidencial das mãos do povo brasileiro.
It's better without Bolsonaro there, I think.
Yeah, good. It is really amazing how Bolsonaro and Trump sort of mirror each other in that respect. Let's go see if we can we check and see what Bolsonaro is up to. Meanwhile, during the ceremony, Bolsonaro was caught on camera, apparently down like checking out his condo in Florida. He's in Orlando, and it's unclear whether it's his. We don't know if it's his condo complex or what, but there he is. Going around. That's the actual sound of Jair Bolsonaro as he's walking around.
Yeah, not quite the same crowd.
Oh, he's getting, I think there's some guys who are like, who are giving him grief. But there he is, just walking around with the, just some random Orlando.
Bolsonaristas.
Yeah, it's weird. Now, of course, look at it. He's got like five bodyguards around him. I'm not convinced that there's a lot of fans there, to be honest with you. But that is that
so
is
everyone good. That was at his cookout.
Exactly.
In like super baggy shorts, just kind of like mosey around. It's like, what are you doing, bro? Like,
and there, I mean, there it is. So, Michael will be enjoying watching a Bolsonaro just walk around, like, you know, in retirement garb with four security guards as he's walking through a random sort of place in Orlando.
Yeah, it's funny because like all countries sort of have their electoral skeptics and sort of thing, but like the difference between Bolsonaro and Lula is pretty big chasm. Brian Muir, President Lula has initiated the process to lift all of Bolsonaro's 100 years of secrecy decrees. If all goes according to plan, 30 days from now, the public will find out who is involved in the multi-billion-dollar kickback scandal and whether Bolsonaro lied about being vaccinated. And they're also looking at the Evo Morales coup stuff. So good to have Lula in and Bolsonaro out.
Here we go with... we haven't heard. Have we heard anything about the election here? And so there it is with Bolsonaro, and it'll be fun watching those secrets come out. haven't heard anything about what's happening with McCarthy. He is supposed to be having the election for Speaker of the House right now, and. Here is a clip of the way that this is being reported. You're starting to see, you know, a lot of frustration from conservatives because the thing that is becoming clear here is that, A, you have a group of at least probably close to 20, 25 minimum conservative lawmakers who are spearheading this. There are five who have, I think, explicitly said they're not going to vote for McCarthy. There, by all reporting, seems to be at least a dozen who are sort of like in the next wave. You might imagine them as like archers. And the first five, sorry, I watched Lord of the Rings over the weekend.
Legolas.
and the first wave being sort of like, you know, with the swords and shields. And there's more. You also have like a Club for Growth that is saying that we will primary you if you vote for McCarthy for Speaker. So there's a lot of strength in the anti-McCarthy, I guess, cohort within the Republican caucus. They already have gotten a bunch of concessions from him. Very little of which have anything to do with policy. In fact, I would say none have anything to do with policy. But let's play this clip first from ABC's John Carl. This happened a Sunday. And just get a sense of like how it's being reported at the time.
And Rick, what happens? What happens if he loses? They get together. This is in 2 days. And the vote for Speaker of the House happens before the new members are officially sworn in. So what happens if there is no Speaker of the House?
Chaos. There's no modern precedent for this. It's been a century since we've seen more than one ballot. And look, yeah, that first ballot
1855,
goes forward.
1855. Right?
The first ballot goes forward, and if he doesn't get 218, then what will probably happen is you'll see a motion to adjourn or to start to see some conversations around the sides, because there's nothing else they can do. As you said, John, no committees, no structure, no bills can get voted on, nothing else, even the swearing in gets delayed. Now, as you go through the balloting, there's other things that can happen. You can start to cut deals. You can also change eventually the threshold to get someone with a plurality instead of the outright majority. But it's going to be long and messy.
So they can have a vote to change the threshold.
Yeah, they can vote. Look, Republicans don't want to give the speakership to Hakeem Jeffries. That's not going to happen. And I think everyone recognizes that. And if there is no other viable alternative, then they're going to get to a place where they're going to have to swallow it. But the longer it goes, the more McCarthy gives, the weaker he is as speaker, and potentially the less time he'd be able to serve as speaker, because he may give away some things that would make it easier to depose him down the line. That's the clearest path for him to get it, is for him to allow members to take him down later.
And now, what's interesting about this dynamic here is you don't hear anything about any type of policy being pushed, because there is no, this is not a policy fight. This is a fight within an industry as to who is going to, which brand is going to be in charge. And so all it's going to do at the end of the day is leave McCarthy weaker and give an opportunity for specific congresspeople to be able to preen more when it comes to like the Hunter Biden dick pic committee, or the we don't like immigrants impeach Mayorkas committee, or the investigate the investigators committee because John Dunham didn't do the job that they want him to do.
They're also pretending like they really want to look into Pelosi's taxes, which is like, how about looking into all your guys' taxes?
Yeah, I'm in favor of the whole thing. But that's what's fascinating about this. Now, imagine, well, let's play this. Here's Newt Gingrich coming in, weighing in on this. This is Newt Gingrich from yesterday on Fox News.
They gained seats in 22. He was the singularly most active, best fundraiser, biggest campaigner. I thought at least the House was going to be a sign of stability. And these five guys decided to go out as kamikazes and see if they can't sink the whole Republican Party. And that's what they're doing. This is not about Kevin McCarthy. This is about the right of any five members to basically throw away the entire rest of the conference and tell the rest of the conference it doesn't matter.
Why would they do that?
Between them and the conference.
Newt, that makes absolutely no sense. Why would they do it?
I think it's a psychological problem. These guys can't count straight. They can't play tic-tac-toe. They can't accept victory. I mean, this is a moment where the Freedom Caucus could claim victory and conservatives could claim victory. You're going to have, given what McConnell's been doing in the Senate, McCarthy is the only hope for conservatism in Washington right now. And to undermine him, mm-hmm. I think, is to undermine conservatism, undermine the Republican Party, and frankly, undermine the country.
Well, listen, just in the...
This is interesting and it's instructive because I want you to just contemplate what would have happened to the five members of the squad back in 2020. You're watching, like, Fox and Gingrich, you know, hammer these five Republicans. And incidentally, there's about 15 behind them that have been pushing this as well, to be clear. These five are not alone. They know they're not alone. And again, they have institutional support from, like, Club for Growth. Those are the ones who got, like, folks like Toomey elected in Pennsylvania. Here's Dan Crenshaw, another Republican. You know, you'll remember he did those fancy ads where he was a superhero because he doesn't have mental problems. But here, I mean, just get a sense of, like, what would have happened if there were five members of the squad pushing for, and to be clear, they've gotten some reforms in the system that are going to elevate certain people. Not a bad thing to fight for in some respects. Here's Dan Crenshaw talking about these five Republicans.
This handful of members is very clearly looking for notoriety over principle. That's what it is. And anyone who suggests differently is in some kind of make-believe fantasy reality. It's not true. They lost those debates. That should have been the end of it, because that's how a team works, right? You hash this stuff out, you figure it out, and then you move on. But if you're a narcissist and you believe that your opinion is so much more important than everyone else's, then you'll keep going. And you'll threaten to tear down the team for the benefit of the Democrats just because of your own sense of self-importance. That's exactly what's happening here. We will not vote for anyone else but McCarthy. These people think they're stubborn when we're stubborn. They think they're not going to get the committees they want. Well, obviously they won't, but it's going to be so much worse than that. You know, they are enemies now. They have made it clear that they prefer a Democrat agenda than a Republican one.
I mean, so you're getting a sense of the intense anger that's going on there against these Republicans. And I just, for a moment, contemplate that what they wanted, and there is no analog really to the idea of the force the vote that people have been harping about for 2 years now, relentlessly. People have built their entire podcast.
Not
careers.
That many people.
And that was a strategy of having the members of the squad leverage their vote against Nancy Pelosi for a vote that everyone knew would fail on Medicare for All. And it would fail on the House floor about 300 to 100, roughly speaking. It could be closer to like 310 to 125 or 35, but it's somewhere in that neighborhood. And the idea that they
would... Sorry, just to say, like, the ones that did vote for it, you couldn't necessarily trust that they'd vote for it in a situation where it actually wasn't played.
All you get is them going on record for something they know is not going to happen. And then presumably, I'm not sure what happened after that, the public would rise up and say, how could you vote against this? But look at the way that this is being covered. Even on the right, and Republicans never get this type of negative coverage. You never hear Republicans in disarray. It is just reflexive of our media to do that with Democrats. Because largely, Democrats are more in disarray. They are a more heterogeneous party, just definitionally. They're made up of different socioeconomic classes, of different races, of different of education backgrounds. The Republican Party is 90% white. And in this, the upper half of the income distribution, and largely aligned. I don't know what the analogy would be between, you know, sort of like voting for Medicare for All, which at the very least you can say, broadly speaking, at least in concept, the vast majority of Americans are in favor of. How intensely are they in favor of it? It's another question. But at least when they're asked in polling, for the most part, the idea of it, they're in favor of. If they were more in favor of it, we may have seen Bernie Sanders been president, or at least win the Democratic nomination. Nancy Pelosi, far more beloved amongst Democrats than Kevin McCarthy. And
then McCarthy is among Republicans.
Then McCarthy is among Republicans, without a doubt. And those five who were holdouts for that vote would have been eviscerated. We would never hear of those people. They would probably be, I don't even know if they'd still be in office. And to what end? Now, in terms of McCarthy, what he's going to give up, and this is pretty good stuff, but again, you have to remember that at least 20%, excuse me, at least 10% of the caucus, of the Republican caucus, is, you know, threatening McCarthy not to vote for him. I think, you know, the 15 or so or 20 in the Freedom Caucus, and we don't know the exact numbers, would be satisfied with what's there. But the top five, another five, a separate group, are more aggressive. McCarthy has agreed to allow a snap vote at any time to oust him as speaker, which, of course, makes him far less effective. Again, they have no agenda anyways, so it really doesn't matter. It's not like this is 2020 and you've got a $1.3 trillion bill you want to pass to provide $300, you know, $1,500, $1,400 checks to each American and $300 per kid to each family and, you know, free health care under the guise of COBRA. I mean, there was an agenda that needed to happen in 2020. There is no agenda. The Republicans have no agenda other than hearings to help Donald Trump. There's a package of rules that McCarthy unveiled on Sunday governing how the House operates, including these demands issued by the members of the Freedom Caucus, such as the adoption of the so-called Holman Rule, which allows lawmakers to use spending bills to defund specific programs and fire federal officials or reduce their pay. I don't know how this is going to work with a Democratic Senate. They probably will get nowhere, but it is, they're introducing these concepts, which presumably, if Republicans take full control of the government, they will do that. There's another proposal that's going to end proxy voting and remote committee hearings because they don't believe in infectious diseases. They're going to create a new select subcommittee under the Judiciary Committee focused on the weaponization of the federal government. Not really clear on what that means. Do you guys know what that means?
Indigenous folks would be interested in that.
I was going to say, like, the government has weapons. Like, you mean like when you like you have like a federal police come
they mean
and
leave conservatives
break
alone.
Up...
Let conservatives harass teachers and
exactly.
Gay kids.
Yes, exactly. They would also hamstring the Office of Congressional Ethics. Apparently, there's like
authoritarian
a half a dozen Republican lawmakers who are stuck in the ethics process right now that they want to sort of release them. They would impose term limits for board members. In the ethics board, which would result in the removal of all but one Democrat as the panel considers whether to begin an inquiry into certain Republican congressmen and their conduct related to January 6th attack on the Capitol. That's what that's about. Another proposal would mandate that the office hire investigators within 30 days of a new Congress, a requirement some ethics fear could leave the office understaffed for lengthy periods if hires are not made within that time. McCarthy also called for a church-style investigation. I don't know if he gets the pun there. Into past abuses of power by the FBI and the CIA agency. I mean, that wouldn't be a bad thing, frankly. No. I have a feeling it'd be narrowly tailored.
Yeah, I don't really... I think it'd be to look at, again, FBI people are looking at, you know, threats against teachers.
Raising the temperature on the threat to impeach Alejandro Mayorkas. He promised Marjorie Taylor Greene that she will get a spot on the coveted oversight committee that's going to allow for the penis inquiry into Biden's penis. McCarthy... is also going to perhaps investigate the House Select Committee looking into the January 6th attack, holding public hearings scrutinizing the security breakdowns that occurred. And there you go. So that's what they have right there, the time being. And we will keep you updated on the vote.
Yeah, so it just looks like every member has been sworn in, their quorum has been met, and McCarthy is on the House floor. He's apparently taking pictures with some members, which seems to me a little premature celebrating for what might be a difficult afternoon for him. But
well, you wanna don't let them see you sweat.
Yeah, that's right. It's fake it till you make it, right?
Exactly. They're going to try and make this happen. Meanwhile, let's just there in is Santos. Been
he's there. Do we want to watch some video of him on the trying on the House floor?
Yeah, let's do this now. What has come out about this Congressman elect George Santos from New York's what number? What is he the second district?
Third. New York's third
district. It's unclear. He touted himself as the first immigrant gay Republican congressman, openly gay Republican congressman. It's unclear, and it'll always be unclear if he's actually gay. He was married to a woman up to about 2 weeks before he was nominated, but to be fair, that could be some type of scam he's running,
right?
An immigration scam. And I say that because that would be consistent with what else is going on there. Very bizarre financial disclosures. Unclear where he made the millions of dollars over the past 18 months in that is now in his bank account. Almost every single thing that he has said about himself was a lie. Where do I have this here?
This one just came out like a few minutes ago. This is him, his first day on the job on the house in the house building.
And of course, Kevin McCarthy can't do anything about it. He's just got this sort of like rogue increasingly appearing like he's a con man.
We should probably just loosen ethics sort of standards.
Especially now that Santos is also supporting McCarthy's bid.
Yeah.
He needs him around.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, this guy, you know, may be he may ultimately be gone because there's a lot of fishiness around this dude, but here he is.
Yes, I am. Mr. Santos, do you intend to serve both years of your term?
Do you plan to vote for Leader McCarthy today to be Speaker?
Can you tell us if you plan to serve both years of your term, Mr. Santos? Will you answer any question besides, will you support Leader McCarthy to be Speaker?
You want to support McCarthy? Is your name really George Santos?
Any concerns about your biography, about what you've told folks about your background?
Are you going to cry?
Republican leadership told you anything, Mr. Santos?
Is that really the collar and sweater combo you're going with? Okay, that's good. Now,
he apparently walked into a dead end.
He apparently, well, here, and let's play this clip. Right-wing host of Fox filling in for Tucker Carlson, Tulsi Gabbard. One of the latest Fox News personalities. She went in on George Santos. Of course, remember now.
It's because he's gay.
Because he's gay. He's a gay immigrant. And so Tulsi's
like, let me at him.
Tulsi's going to go hard at this guy because she's got her brand to build as well. Here's Tulsi Gabbard. Fox News host with George Santos.
To them. And now I want to put this past me so I can deliver for the American people.
The thing is, Congressman-elect, integrity means, yes, carrying yourself with honor, but it means telling the truth, being a person of integrity.
Of
and
course.
If I were of one of those in New York's 3rd District right now that the election is over and I'm finding out all of these lies that you've told, not just one little lie or one little embellishment. These are blatant lies. My question is, do you have no shame? Do you have no shame in the people who are now, you are asking to trust you to go and be their voice for them, their families, and their kids in Washington?
Tulsi, I can say the same thing about the Democrats and the party. Look at Joe Biden. Joe Biden's been lying to the American people for 40 years. He's the president of the United States. Democrats resoundingly support him. Do they have no shame?
This is not. This is not about the Democratic Party, though. This is about your relationship, frankly, with the people who've entrusted you to go and fight for them. And I think one of the questions that really probably hits home to a lot of people is, are you Jewish? We've got a letter that your campaign sent out earlier this year, which reads as follows. As a proud American Jew, I've been to Israel numerous times for educational, business, and leisurely trips. You said there in that letter that you are, quote, a proud American Jew. How do you explain that?
My heritage is Jewish. I've always identified as Jewish. I was raised a practicing Catholic. I think I've gone through this. Not being raised a practicing Jew, I've always joked with friends and circles, even with in the campaign, I'd say, guys, I'm Jew-ish. Remember, I was raised Catholic. So, look, I understand everybody.
Pause it. I should just say Jew-ish does not mean what he thinks it.
How do you justify that? Well, there's actually this funny joke I used to do.
Yeah, that's the way I listen.
Everyone loves
me. I'm Jew-y.
Come on.
I'm Jew-y. Continue. This is really hilarious.
Practicing Jew, I've always joked with friends and circles, even with in the campaign, I'd say, guys, I'm Jew-ish. Remember, I was raised Catholic. So, look,
remember.
I understand everybody wants to nitpick at me.
Nitpick.
I'm going to reassure this once and for all. I'm not a facade. I'm not a persona. I have an extensive career.
I have an extensive career. Now, it's unclear what that extensive career has been. I have no doubt he has an extensive career. I just don't think it's the one that he's actually like articulated.
Catch me if you can, sort of.
Yeah, exactly. This story about George Santos also really, this was in The Gothamist. And in a March 2020 video episode of the Empire State Conservatives podcast, which has now been made private on YouTube, Santos tells the host that, quote, he battled a brain tumor a couple of years ago. And I had radiation done, which really, really lowers your immunity in general, he said, recounting his experience with COVID-19. The reason why this sticks out for me is because, and I'm going to be careful here because I don't want to get sued by somebody who might be litigious, but there was a guy who started Air America who I think has spent some prison time in Guam. I'm not sure if he's still in prison in Guam right now, who was accused of embezzling funds from the Boys Club, was, I know for a fact, bounced multiple checks to me and to other people at Air America. And his whole story, whenever you asked him, like, what's going on here, he would talk about his brain tumor that he had. I don't know if that's a like a sort of the go-to for people who are sort of like have dubious claims.
Do countries that don't have like medical debt, do they have people using that as an excuse? I wonder if it's like a smaller thing or if it...
I think just the idea of a brain tumor is...
Because you don't want to challenge... That's such a big lie. You don't want to say like,
you don't want to challenge that. And it's like, oh, wow. There's something about a brain tumor that's also sort of unique. It's not like, you know, like, oh, you meet people who have cancer and they had cancer and like, oh, how serious was it? But a brain tumor, you don't like... You don't... The first question you ask when someone says, I had a brain tumor, isn't like, was it serious? Right? You don't say like, how, like, it's like, whoa, you had a brain tumor? That can't be good.
I hope that doesn't happen to me.
And then, you know, like, you don't, and it's rare enough that you probably don't meet people who are going to be able to challenge you effectively on your brain tumor thing.
Until now, he's kind of blowing it.
Until now. George Santos also... There was a 2008 court case that George Santos faced. And apparently, there was in 2008, he stole a check or a checkbook. And the case had been suspended for the better part of a decade because police were unable to locate him in Brazil. But after George Santos got elected to represent the 3rd District in New York and made headlines because he had lied about being Jewish and he had lied about his real estate holdings. He had lied about his jobs. He had lied about being an immigrant. He had lied about was unclear as to where he got his money from, millions of dollars that showed up after having no income in 2022. And barely any income in 2020. All of a sudden in 2021, he made like millions of dollars.
Don't give up hope, folks.
Don't give up hope. It can happen to you. Here is, so with all this, here is Representative Kevin Brady, Republican, on Fox's with Jillian Mele. This is on Sunday. This is what he's saying about Santos. And here's the thing, folks. At one point, there's going to be a special election, and I don't know if Democrats are going to blow this one in New York, but it seems there's going to be a lot of money spent on this special election if these Republicans have any say in it.
Task. Sir, let's talk about George Santos. The congressman-elect is now facing a slew of investigations, multiple accusations. He lied about everything from where he went to grade school to where he went to college, his religion, his employment history. So far, Republican leadership, though, no condemnation, largely silent altogether on the issue. Do you think that Kevin McCarthy should condemn him?
So, look, I think this is troubling in so many ways. Certainly he has lied repeatedly. At the end of the day, though, this is a decision, whether he resigns or stays, that needs to be made between he and the voters who elected him. He's certainly going to have to consider resigning. He's got really two choices. I don't know this young man. He doesn't need my advice, surely. But, one, he can try to politically ride it out. We've seen that happen in Washington, D.C. Or he can take the tougher choice, which is, I think, look, own every lie that he's made, apologize to everyone and anyone for as long as it takes. But secondly, you got to change your life here. There's a real problem here. We're a country of second chances. And when people are willing to turn their life around and own up to this, then do what it takes to earn respect and trust again. You know, we're willing to do that. So I'm hopeful, you know, he chooses the right path here.
Looking for a yes or no answer on this, sir. You've chaired committees in the past. If you were chairing a committee that he was slated to serve on, would you feel comfortable having him as a member?
Well, right now, he would not be on a committee that I led. And frankly, he's got to take some huge steps if he wants to regain trust and respect in his district. At the end of the day, he's got to make that decision.
I mean, I don't like, I'm not even clear exactly what he's saying. Like, he's going to come out and say, I lied about all this stuff. Like, how about giving us the real information? I mean, the money questions are going to be the real ones, because I got to bet that Letitia James's office is now investigating where did all this money come from when it showed up in his. I mean, where did this money come from? And I find it really hard to believe that somebody who is lying about this many things, and, you know, fine, 10 years ago, the guy, how old was the guy 10 years ago? How old is Santos? Is he 30?
He's 35.
He's 35. So when he was 25, he stole a checkbook. Not necessarily youthful indiscretion. So he's stealing checkbooks. He's lying about every single thing on his resume. Like, everything. Like, it's a totally different person. He was marrying people. Well, gay people marry, gay men will marry women.
Oscar Wilde had kids.
I mean, it's not, you know, but it's strange that he got the courage to become an openly gay man.
Right before.
2 weeks after he divorces his last wife and runs for office, that I am going to make a bet that this guy does not last in office by the summer.
Mm.
That
he'll resign.
I don't know. There's going to be pressure for this guy. You know, I don't think he's going to resign. A guy like this
can't.
You're not. He can't. No, I mean, and he's got protection as a congressman.
But I like talking about second chances when he's still on his first chance.
Exactly. Wait, what's the second chance here? You can not lie about everything and do what? No, he's got a problem, and that's going to be an interesting story. I hope they put him on the Hunter Biden committee.
He almost wanted to do the thing with Tulsi, like, well, I'm shameless, like Trump, like, I'm corrupt for you. Santos, like, I'm shameless, but for you, because look at those Democrats. It didn't quite have the bravado to pull it off.
No, it didn't quite work. I wonder if that would have been different if he wasn't running as an openly gay man with Tulsi.
Yeah.
Because Tulsi's record on that is not so.
That's so funny that it was Tulsi.
But again, I appreciate Glenn Greenwald for introducing us to Santos. He was the first time. I don't think he was the first person to mention Santos, but it was the first person in my feed who was introducing him.
Yeah.
So that was good. Also, just an update on this before we head to the fun half of the program. When we left a week and a half ago, Kathy Hochul had the opportunity to pick the next Court of Appeals chief judge. This is New York State Court. And she chose a right-wing chief judge nominee, Hector LaSalle. And from what I have read subsequently, it was important to her to appoint a Latino to this position because we have a woeful lack of Latino representation within New York state government. The desire to do that is one that I think is like, you know, I applaud, but the one that I applaud even more, Jessica Ramos and Gustavo Rivera have publicly announced their intention to vote no on LaSalle's nomination. Ramos wrote, "Latinos deserve representation at the highest level of the legal system, but we also need courts that respect workers and the right to organize." Rivera said something similar, appreciating the importance of having Latino representation in our government, but in New York, but find a different judge. There wasn't one nominated by the sort of nomination committee, but tell them to go back and do more work. It appears like LaSalle is not going to get out of committee, but it's possible that maybe with Republicans, they can get it to a floor vote. And it still appears he's going to lose the floor vote. And this is because there was huge pushback by people contacting their state senators in New York State. I mean, this can be done, folks, in these type of situations. If Hochul is a Republican, or if Hochul's even Cuomo, or a slightly different era, maybe you don't see this. But it's a different era. When you contact your state senator, first off, they're like, whoa, because nobody contacts them. They never hear. The idea that they would get five, let's say, or 10 calls or emails based upon any given issue, that's like, to them, that must represent like a 95% of the opinion in their district.
And I used to work for the city, like in terms of directing calls to those offices. For example, if someone called the borough president's office where I worked, state offices, like state legislatures, both in the assembly and senate, are part time. And also, there's, as a result, their staffs are very small. So it's like it is. Not only just in terms of politically expedient, it's also just logistically, because they're saying we are getting hounded by calls about these things.
Right. Like,
the phone is ringing off the hook about this.
To get thing. 20 calls yeah. in a day about this shuts down the office almost.
Means a meeting should be happening or something to be like, we need to have a response to this.
And that's, you know, like, and this is a theme that we've talked about when we have, Bobby Big Wheel on. What's the name of the
Future Now and
Future Now
States Project?
The States Project. Dollar for dollar, like your return on investment in terms of effort or dollars on this level is just so much greater than it is on the federal level. So, thanks to those who called their New York State Senator, if you haven't, still do it. I mean, like because there's a lesson. Every time something like this works, it is training state lawmakers, and it's training ourselves to show like the sort of the paths in which to exercise power.
Yeah, and it's on this issue, like this use of identity politics by the conservative sort of power establishment or whatever basis to use it to conservative ends is really problematic, and it's something that it's good to see like progressives take a stand against, because it's so cynical, and I think it's really dangerous and needs to be nipped in the bud.
Well, that's why, you know, if you have a moment to send a thank you to Ramos and Gustavo Rivera,
absolutely.
Do so, because it is much harder to push back in this situation without some key Latino lawmakers saying, We want a Latino there, but we want one that supports issues that are important to these people, as opposed to just sharing a last name that resonates with Latino voters. And so that's really key. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break, head into the fun half of the program. A more in-depth look into our New Year's celebrations and our hopes and aspirations for 2023. It's going to be an interesting year, 2023, because by the fall, we're going to start to see, well, really by the summer, we're going to start to see the primaries heat up on the Republican side. We're going to know as to whether Joe Biden is going to run, I would imagine, by September of this year. We're also going to know more about the scope and really every feature that you could possibly want to know about Hunter Biden's sexual organ. That is going to be something that the American public is going to be subjected to by the Republican Party. They will search around for groups to demonize. Notice, and this is fascinating, none of these committees that we've seen so far are going to be focusing on, like, transgender people in sports, right? Or, you know, the transgender grooming. That's still just, like, for Fox News and these right-wing YouTubers. But the party, despite the fact they spent in Michigan alone $50 million on that issue, realizes like that is an electorally loser issue for them. And so at the very least, there's not going to be sort of like federal issues around, you know, federal pressure around those issues. So hopefully things will start getting a little bit incrementally better for trans people going forward. It's still going to exist on a, you know, sort of like a, in the right wing media circles, and that's not going to go away because it gets them hits, and it really gives them a boogeyman. But the Republicans in Washington are going to have to find a different boogeyman. My guess is it's going to be brown people. It's going to be, you know, Hunter Biden and brown people. But at the end of the day, brown people is a much more motivating factor for them. Brown and black people. So we will see. 2023 is going to be interesting. Folks, just a reminder, it's your support that makes this show possible. When you become a member, you not only get the free show free of commercials, but you get the fun half as well. And you allow this show to survive and thrive. We rely on our members. I've mentioned in the past, you know, our advertising gets a little bit hinky, particularly at the beginning of the year. They move to dynamic insertion, which is great if you have a once or twice a week show. But when you have a daily show, people don't go back to the old episodes very often. Now, if you become a member on the app, you get a whole searchable catalog. And we are in the process of tagging every single episode, 2,500 episodes more.
We're almost up to 3,000.
Almost 3,000 episodes. And at one point, maybe we'll even tag the sort of deep archive that we have. That could be a project. But check out our app, majorityapp.com. The iOS app is done. The Android app is, I think, days away. And so check that out. You can search on the app, and you can IM the show from the app. Also, don't forget justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code majority. You get 10% off. They have great coffee. You get the MR blend. Great way to start your New Year's off. They're a great company. What's happening with ESVN? Is she taking
Well, so Emma did a larger Thursday stream last week to kind of comprise for the account for Monday as well. So it was a little bit of a longer stream as well as our picks for the week of NFL action. And tune in. She might be doing a solo stream from her vacation to just lightly touch upon the Damar Hamlin injury from last night's Bills-Bengals game, just to give a little primer on that. And we will be back Thursday of next week for a longer episode. Along
next week.
Picks. Yes. Okay. Yes. When she is back from, when Emma's back from vacation.
Matt, what's happening in the Matt Leck Media Enterprise?
Tonight we talked to Bronco Marchetich of Jacobin, suspending our disbelief a little bit to try to find what actually is revealed and put into context for these Twitter files. And we also talk about librarians as a key target in the real sort of war on speech. Patreon.com/leftreckoning to get access to that tonight.
I want to talk about those Twitter files for a second when we get into the fun half. Oh, Rob from Dedham released the Peacock tapes. Oh, yeah. You know what? We should do that, too. For members, we should do that. Yeah, we should post all of those.
Don't tell Peacock.
I'll just wait for them to go out of business.
Pirate Peacock.
I honestly, I don't know.
We're going to outlast.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. They're going to be bought by Paramount, would be my guess, in a year. That's always been my theory. That they ghost ship. All right, we'll be back in just a moment.
You are in for it.
All right, folks, 646-257-3920. See you in the fun.
Oh, no. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah. Who sent us this?
Anarchy. Alpha males are back. Boy is back, and the alpha males are back.
Just as delicious as you could imagine.
The alpha males are back. Boy is back, and the alpha males are back.
Just wanna degrade the white man.
Alpha males are back.
I take all of it to my throat.
Alpha males are back.
Snowflake says what?
The alpha males are back.
You are a madman!
And the alpha males are back.
Oh no, Sam Cedar! What a fucking nightmare!
Yeah, or a couple of them. Just put them in rotation.
DJ Danner.
Well, the problem with those is they're like 45 seconds long, so I don't know if they're enough for the break.
That's fucking nonsense.
You see white people doing drugs that look worse than normal white people, and all white people look disgusting.
And the alpha males,
psych. Fuck them.
Snowflake says what?
What?
Snowflake says what?
A hell of a lot of bang. A hell of a lot of bang. A hell of a lot of bang. Okay. I'm making stupid money. A hell of a lot of bang. Hell of a lot of bang. All lives matter.
Have you tried doing an impression on a college campus?
I think that there's no reason why reasonable people across the divide can't all agree with this. Psych.
And the alpha males are back. And the Africans are black African. And the alpha males are black. And the Africans are back.
When you see Donald Trump out there, doesn't a little part of you think that America deserves to be taken over by jihadists? Keep it at 100. Can't knock the hustle. Come on! Fuck them. Things I do for the bigger game plan.
By the way, it's my birthday! Happy birthday to me, Jew boy!
I have a thought experiment for you.
And the alpha males are back. Africans are black. Alpha males are black. Africans are back.
Come on. What? Come on. What? Come on. Someone needs to pay the price for blasphemy around here.
I am a total pussy.